Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study. Revelation chapter 10, the mystery of God is over with now. It's going to be finished. This is what we're dealing with this week. We started it last week. The Bible says in Revelation 10:6, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And as we talked about last week, that doesn't mean that all time stops or that it's the end of time. But in this particular thing here, time no longer references the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Let's read verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And so we're looking at, based upon Scripture, what the mystery of God was, what it deals with, what it entails, what's going to happen at this time in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, sounding his trumpet, when he shall begin to sound. That's the trumpet that's being talked about. There's seven trumpets, and now we're going to be dealing with the seventh trumpet, which is... there are no more trumpets after this one, all right? And so we're going to look at, we're going to pick up in 1 Corinthians 15, so if you want to go ahead and turn your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. But so far, we've just done an examination of what this mystery is. The Bible is the commentary. The Bible tells you what it is. The Bible leads you and guides you into all truth. And so if you wanted to just, if you wanted to just turn off this video, get you can look in a concordance, you can get a copy of our software from our website, download it, install it, and just look up the word mystery or mysteries in the King James Bible. Let the Holy Ghost tell you what the mystery is. Let the Holy Ghost tell you what it relates to and so on. So far, what we've seen is Jesus told the Gentiles, he told his disciples, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So the Jewish people heard the parables of Jesus. They didn't understand it. It was a mystery to them. But Jesus told his disciples. Now he's telling us. Now we're reading it. It's in our Bibles. And Jesus is telling us what the mysteries are. And so he tells us, you know, the parable of the seed and the sower. We know what the seed is, the word of God. We know who the fowls of the air are. They represent devils. We have Satan coming down, eating the word, gobbling up the word, which, I mean, he does so well in so many areas. He just consumes the word so people don't have access to it anymore. Then you have the stony ground. He tells us what that is. We have the thorny ground. He tells us what thorns represent. And it matches consistently when you look all through the scriptures to look at the imagery and the symbolism of thorns. You get a consistent idea from Genesis to Revelation of what these thorns represent. And he's telling you the mystery. He's explaining it to you. You're having a revelation. So it's not a secret anymore to us who read and understand the Bible. But it is right now to Israel, the Hebrew people. And this is one of my biggest things against the Hebrew Roots movement, is they pass on this false assumption and this false teaching that the Jews are the only people in the world who ever thought about God correctly. That the way they thought about it, the way they perceived it, the way they talked about it, the way they wrote about it, the way they taught the law is the only true and correct way. But the Bible tells us plainly in Romans 11:25 that blindness, he doesn't want you to be ignorant of this mystery, that blindness in part has happened unto Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles comes in. And there is going to come a fullness of the Gentiles. God's going to be done dealing with the Gentiles. He's going to be done saving people out of the Gentiles. And he's going to go back to saving Israel like he promised. But right now, they're partially blinded. They can't see. It's a mystery to them. They don't understand who the rock was that followed them in the Old Testament. They don't understand who that was. Okay? But anyway, Paul talks about in Romans 16:25. According to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, now it's revealed to us. 1 Corinthians 2:7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And I'll say this, and I think the Bible alludes to this, and I don't know if we'll get into this in our study or not, but I believe that there are devils who still, it's a mystery to them, they don't understand. If the devil would have known that by entering into Judas Iscariot, that in itself would bring about his own demise, I mean, he would have never done it. And so I think that there are things even right now that are hidden from, the Bible talks about they're hidden from the principalities of this world and the powers. Devils don't understand the real gospel and what the real mystery is. And so those who follow them won't understand it either. But we have it plainly for us in the Word of God. Now, this is the trail that we've been following. If you, again, shut the video off, go study it for yourself, and ask yourself, what is the mystery? And if it's being finished at the seventh trumpet, what does that mean for me? So we find the fifth occurrence of the word mystery in the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians 15:51. So I'm going to turn there in my Bible, and we'll read several verses. We know that 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the resurrection. In other words, our changed bodies. What body are we going to have when we are translated from this world to the next? Or, as in the case of loved ones that we have, those who have died before us that are in Christ, what body are they going to be resurrected with when we know, according to Scripture, that the dead in Christ are going to be raised up first? What are they going to look like? And so he spends a lot of details here in 1 Corinthians 15 talking about the resurrection, how it starts out like a seed. And we take the seed of the body, we plant it in the ground, but what comes up out does not look like what we put in. It has a different form to it. So, and even that is true in life. And if I just kind of talk about this very quickly, the seed that comes out of a man that goes into a woman, we can now see that under a microscope. That doesn't look like a baby. It doesn't look like a human being. But what happens when it's given birth? Okay, it doesn't look like what went in there. And so that's what the Bible's teaching you about the resurrection. Now, in that context, and let's just back up here. Let's go 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see here. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, which is what this image is right now, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. So it's going to happen. We're going to have a new image, a new appearance. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. It is impossible for me in my flesh body to inherit incorruption. I'm not meant for it. Every mystery religion, every science in the world is trying desperately to get mankind to live forever inside of this flesh body. That's transhumanism. That's the next phase of evolution. That's what the devil promised to Eve in the Garden of Eden, to actually be a god and be an immortal inside of her flesh body. But God has ordained that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, verse 51 now. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, there's going to come a time when those who have died asleep are going to rise up changed. Then, right after that, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. And Paul says here, he's given you the other part of this, that we'll be changed. Even though we may not die when that trumpet sounds, we may not die, but we will be changed just like those who have died before us. So he says it's going to happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. for the trumpet. And I always emphasize that because somebody wrote me and I don't mind people writing me and questioning me. I really don't. But it depends on the tone. And if you're seriously asking me a legitimate question, like you didn't understand something I said, I don't mind answering it. But if you start out, Mike, you're an idiot, okay, I'm not going to spend a lot of time with you. And so this guy wrote in, Mike, you're an idiot. Everybody knows there's a difference between a trump and a trumpet. And what they were saying was, is that I'm seeing from here, and in multiple ways, I'm seeing that the translation of the church takes place at the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. I can't get out of that. I can't get around it. I can't take it out and say, well, that doesn't, you know, I can't do that. It's there in the Bible. It's written very plainly. And I don't have any verses that are telling me that this doesn't exist for me. I don't have that. There's an absence of that. And so, but it says at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. There is no difference between the use of the word trump and trumpet in the King James Bible. That's made up. They want you to think there's a difference, but there's not. It says right here, in the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So, I mean, and this, I think there's a general agreement on, that when God is done dealing with the Gentiles, and he's then going to turn and bring salvation to Israel, that at that time he is going to remove the church. That's what we're all talking about here. But according to Revelation 10, that mystery that Israel is under right now doesn't come to an end until the days of the seventh trumpet, seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. The mystery of God should be finished. So here's what God's doing, and we go back to Romans 11:25. Blindness, he's going to show you the mystery. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so we're saying practically the same thing. It's just that some people don't like me saying seventh trumpet, last trump. They don't like that. But that's when it happens. That's when the Bible says it happens. The mystery is going to be over for them, and we're going to be taken up when? At the last trump. And people have asked me, Pastor, when do you think the rapture is going to occur? And I say, at the last trump. And I am just, and I'm finding out some people don't like answers like that. And I'll be honest with you, I'm learning how not to answer questions any other way other than giving a Bible verse. Well, this is what it says right here. Well, do you believe this? Well, according to 1 Corinthians 51, I believe it will take place at the last trump. The trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's exactly what I believe. And I have decided to step away from man's terminology, such as the Trinity. And I talked about this on a Pastor Mike Online yesterday, and I understand what the word Trinity represents, but in the Scriptures it's referred to as the Godhead. That's what I refer to it as. And just other little things like that. And so I think the language is important. I think the wording is important, because I need to know from the Bible. You need to know from the Bible what I mean when I say something, and I want to know from you, from the Bible, what you mean when you say something. And so I think these words are there. They're there for a reason. God didn't write anything in vain, and he's using the whole of the Scripture to teach us what his doctrine is, how God says it, how God thinks it, how God has plainly laid it out for us right in front of our very eyes. And so we have a revelation of the mystery to Israel, and now Paul's going to show you a mystery, a part of that mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And then he says, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And so death is swallowed up in victory. And all that teaching there applies to that. And we're dealing with what the Bible tells us is the last trump, the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet. And there is no more trumpet after the seventh one. Seven is always finality and completion, and that's it. So there is no more trumpet after this. So I, just as a student of the Scriptures, not a student of this guy or this guy or this guy or this guy, I'm a student of the Scriptures, and this is what I'm seeing in the Scriptures. And if you're going to fault me for anything, fault me for not believing what Dr. So-and-so said. I'm just going to believe what's in the Bible. I love you. I do. And I want you to know that I have a very, very high regard for Bible doctrine. But I cannot in good conscience teach anybody else's doctrine other than what I see in the Scripture. I can't do it. So I love you. I really do. I thank God for God's people. I love God's people. And anybody who loves this book, I love you. I thank God for you. And I want to tell you, I appreciate you standing tall for the words that are in this book and for telling people, don't read any other Bible. Read the King James. Okay, read the authorized Bible, the Word of God. I want you to know I love you and I appreciate you. Okay, never going to say anything against you. But I cannot teach somebody else's doctrine. I have to stick with what's in the book. Now we look in Ephesians chapter 1. Continuation of this, Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible, let's get some of the context here. He's talking about verse 5, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. And I've even had people, Pastor, you believe in predestination? Well, here's the thing. What they mean by that is what somebody, I don't know, Calvin or somebody, I haven't read these guys. I don't care what they said. Maybe Calvin said predestination, and you're already destined to be a Christian no matter what you do, and blah, blah, blah. Well, here's what I believe. I believe that he has predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. That's what I believe. I can't say I believe the Bible, my doctrine, and not believe that. So I believe it exactly the way it is written here. But then there is another part of it that it says that we are elect according to his foreknowledge. So that does bring in God's foreknowledge of our choices and of our free will. And you have to have both of them together because the Bible puts them both together in the same idea, in the same context. So he says in verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I love that. Just study the word beloved. You'll like it. Jesus is beloved, and we are accepted into the beloved, which means the favor that God shows his son, Jesus, is the same favor that he shows to us. The blessings that he gives his son, he gives to us. The inheritance he gives to his son, he gives to us. We are equals. We are accepted in the beloved. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. I love that. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, and I believe in dispensations, and all I can see is two of them, the old dispensation and the new one, and this is what it's telling you here. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. So there is going to be a dispensation of the fullness of times associated with the mystery of his will, and he's going to gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in his body. We are going to be his body of his glorious appearing. And again, associated with the mystery and associated with the fullness of times. There's going to come a time That's why he said time shall be no longer. In other words, we're going to end this right here. We're going to end this dispensation. We're going to be done with it. And then God is going to give his, offer his salvation back to Israel again. All right. Now, and I'm still studying this idea of these dispensations. I'm still studying this. I'm learning it from the scriptures so that in my mind, I have it, I believe, according to the Bible. And I'm not knocking anybody else. I wouldn't do that. But I have to study it from the scriptures. All right. Ephesians 3:3. Same book. He said in Ephesians, let's go back for the verse 1 in Ephesians 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you word, and we are in that dispensation right now. The dispensation of the grace of God to the Gentiles. And that's what he said, for you Gentiles. Verse 3, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. That was a previous dispensation. Was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Holy apostles, New Testament. Prophets, Old Testament. It's revealed in both of them. Okay? And we clearly see it. We go back here and we can see the rock. We can see the water. We know what that symbol is. We know all these things that were in a symbol and in a type and a mystery and a shadow in the Old Testament. Now we see them plainly by the apostles and the prophets together. It's where we get our ideas and our beliefs from and our doctrine. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. The Gentiles as well as the Jews, Israel, partakers of the same body, made members of the body of Jesus Christ. That's part of that mystery, the revelation of that mystery. And there was a time back here when it wasn't revealed. Now it's revealed. And so now we are living in this particular, what the Bible calls, the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, the Gentiles. All right? And then look in verse 9. Well, you know, let's continue reading because we're moving toward Ephesians 3:9. Paul said in verse 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ to the intent. And this is where I said this a while ago, and we're at that verse. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. I had an English teacher in seventh grade. I went to a Christian school for about a year and a half. And she said, we learned how to diagram sentences. And she said, if you ever want to just have fun one of these days, sit down and diagram one of Paul's sentences. Because this particular sentence here starts in verse 8, and he doesn't even breathe until verse 12. Okay? It's a long, long, long sentence, and he puts a lot of things in there. But again, we're talking about, in verse 10, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God is actually giving us, the church, the Gentile Christians, and even those completed Jews who are saved during this time, he's actually giving us wisdom that he's not told the principalities and the powers yet. And it's going to be revealed by the church. So again, I see this as being connected with 1 Corinthians 15:51, Revelation 10. The mystery of God should be finished. It's going to be over with. The dispensation now is done with the Gentiles, and he's going to breach, or he's going to repair the breach that has been made in Israel, and he's going to give them the salvation that he promised them. All right? Ephesians 6:19. Let's look there. Paul talked a lot about this in Ephesians. In Ephesians, we missed one. I knew there was something missing here. Ephesians 5. Holy cow. There is no such thing as holy cows. But anyway, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. What was he talking about? Verse 31, for this cause shall a man, Jesus, leave his father, the heavenly father, his mother, New Jerusalem, or Jerusalem which is above, which is free, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Isn't that beautiful? That's the translation. That's when we become his body. That's when we are finally together. And he says, I speak a mystery, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. And here again, we have another connection of the mystery of God being associated with the translation of the church to Christ to be his body, to be with him, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's so beautiful there. But he's associating it with the mystery. And he talks about in marriage, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In other words, the roles that we're portraying here on this earth in our churches is actually showing you the mystery of God. It's revealing to the world. This is why marriage should still be sacred in the church. This is why the two men should never get married in a church, or two women, or a man and his cat, or whatever sickness comes upon this earth, and they want to marry. That's why it should never be. It should never happen that way. But he's associating the mystery of marriage, or the picture of marriage, with the mystery of Christ and his church. Behold, I show you a mystery. Behold, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. And again, I cannot escape the similarities of the language structure of the King James Bible that leads me to believe that at the seventh trumpet, the last trump, the mystery of God is going to be finished. It's going to be complete. He's going to raise us up to be the body of Christ. He's going to bring Israel to salvation during that time. And then in Ephesians 6:19, let's go back to, talking about we wrestle not against flesh and blood and so on, and taking the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation. He says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so Paul wanted, as part of our spiritual warfare, fighting the devil, number one, that pray always for God's people. Pray for God's people. Pray for brethren and sisters. Pray for brethren and sisters all over the world, people that you know, people that you've associated with on social media or emails or whatever, or just whatever. Pray for pastors all over the world. Pray for me. Pray for other men who hold this book in reverence and honor, who are just trying to show everybody the mystery of the kingdom of God and what it's all about, to reveal so that the world can decide between the real Jesus and the fake one, so that the world would know the difference between the two. Reveal the mystery to them. And I'll say this, and all the reason why they call it Mystery Babylon, the mystery cults, to them, their Savior, the other Jesus, he's still a mystery. Now, he's going to be revealed, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that man of sin be revealed. But in all their religious activities, everything to them is still a mystery. They don't understand it. If you've ever studied Kabbalah, I'm trying to just do a little bit of understanding what is the core and the essence of the Kabbalah. But I'll tell you, It is probably one of the most ludicrous and ridiculously difficult religions in the entire world to understand. That's a mystery. People will follow this their whole lives, never understand what it's all about. And so I'm just looking at the major points, and then I'm able to look in the scripture and see exactly what these are referring to. But anyway, but pray for people. Pray for your church brethren. Pray for family members. Pray for the men that are trying to preach this book and trying to preach this gospel. Let's go to, boy, there's so many places here, and I don't know how much time I want to spend today. I've already done about 2 hours worth of recording, and this is my second set, and then we have church tonight. But anyway, let's start in Colossians chapter 1. And he says here, let's go back to verse 24 in Colossians chapter 1, "Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation." There it is again. The dispensation's always associated with the mystery. "According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery." See it? He called it a dispensation. Now he's calling it the mystery. "Even the mystery which has been hid from ages," back in the Old Testament, "and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." Now we are in a new dispensation. A dispensation where we can plainly read the whole of the scriptures and understand what God is saying and what he's doing and how he's moving. And by the way, Israel is going to, by this same book, have the mystery revealed to them. And so it's revealed to us from Matthew to Revelation, and then we go back to all the way Genesis to Malachi, and we see it. I mean, we see it there. We see the stories and the times. And that's what Jesus was doing on the road to Emmaus. He was just telling them all throughout the Old Testament where he was, and these guys were just going, that rock, that water, that was you. That lamb, Passover. That was you. Oh, wow. And I remember reading that one time, and I said, God, boy, I would have loved to have been on the road to Emmaus with those guys, with Jesus talking about how he was seen in all the Old Testament. And it's sort of like God said, well, Mike, go back and read the Old Testament. We'll walk down that road. And I went, we can. See, you can walk down the same road to Emmaus with Jesus. You just get in that Bible and read that New Testament, learn it, then go back in that Old Testament, read it. And the words will just burn inside of you. You'll see Jesus on every page and every type and every story. You'll see him there. It's so beautiful. And that mystery, now it's revealed to us by the pages of the Word of God. Guess how it's going to be revealed to Israel? Okay? God doesn't have another book somewhere. There's one faith, so there's one book that he reveals the mysteries, the new covenant, the New Testament. That's how he reveals it. But it's just, I didn't really plan on this, but it's just interesting to me that consistently throughout the scriptures, the word dispensation, and I don't have a problem using that word because it's a biblical term, but it's defined by the Bible. It is shown, you get to see how broad it is, but you also get to see how limited it is. The Bible will limit what it means in how it says it. And so the dispensation back here was that it's a mystery. Now we have a dispensation where the mystery, which has been hid, is now made manifest to his saints. A saint is anyone who has been sanctified by the Holy Ghost, by the blood of the Lamb. That's who a saint is. And so he said, whom we preach, and so on. So that's the to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's see here. Yeah, we've covered that, verse 26 and verse 27. Let's do one more in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2, verse 1, For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted. I like that. The word comforted, comfort, comforter, comforted, it's all Holy Ghost words, and they're all Bible words, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures. See, God connected it right there. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, breathes when the Word of God is read, that we through patience and comfort of Scriptures might have hope. So he says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. So you can understand the mystery. You can know what it is. You can have it revealed to you. You can actually have more than the people who sit at the base of Mount Sinai and heard that trumpet. Think about that one. The day that God came down, think about the things we've studied before about these trumpets. The day that God came down to visit with them in Mount Sinai to bring them to himself on Mount Sinai was accompanied with clouds and trumpets. The same thing here. God was hidden from them at Mount Sinai. They couldn't see him. They didn't want to see him. They even wanted him to stop talking. So they begged God, don't talk to us anymore. Talk through a mediator. Your voice scares us. We can't hear it. That's a picture of the Israelites being concluded in darkness without hearing the voice of God. There's going to come a time when God's going to come down again. The trumpet's going to sound. He's going to appear in the clouds. And this time Israel is going to accept him and believe in him and trust him. It's when his face is shining as the sun. And so to me, all of these things work together. They fit together. It provides a single and consistent story in the Scriptures that at the translation of the church, and again, that's another term that I would just rather use rather than rapture. That way you know what I'm talking about. At the translation of the church, God is going to He's going to finish the mystery to Israel. They're going to know the new covenant, the New Testament, the veil. See, what's behind the veil of Moses is hidden. And they purposely said, Moses, please put a veil over your face. We can't look at that. One of these days, Paul himself said, the veil's going to be lifted, just like it was in the temple. The veil's going to be lifted. Guess who they're going to see behind there? The one whose face is shining as the sun, Jesus. It's going to be revealed to them. The mystery is going to, they're going to go, that's our Messiah. That's who he is. It's going to be a revelation of the mystery to them. So just pray and think about all these things and go back and study the passages. And this is why I encourage you, as we're going through these Bible studies, write these passages down or do your own study. Just type in the word mystery. Look at it. Mysteries, plural. Type in clouds, trumpets. Type in all these things we've been seeing. And God gives you a consistent pattern and a consistent story from Genesis to Revelation of every word of God and his doctrines. And he reveals his mysteries that way. All right? So that it's not just me getting this. It's not just me having these special revelations from God. It's not. They're right here. Anybody who will study this book can find it out. It's all right there. And so, praise the Lord for that. We're gonna stop it right here. We'll make a little note here that we're going to pick it up at Colossians. That's the letter he wrote to the people who live between Colossians and Galatians. And anyway, Colossians chapter 4. But again, do your own study. Do your own study and ask God, is there anything Pastor Mike told me that was wrong according to your word? Don't you dare measure me up against somebody else. Comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, we're not wise. So don't measure what I said based upon what Dr. So-and-so said. Ask God, according to His Word, if there's anything that I said that was out of line, according to the Word of God. All right? I love you. God bless you. I love God's people. I love this book. But I'll be honest with you, I love this book more than I love anybody else in this whole world. I have good friends. I have a good wife. I have good family members. I have good brothers and sisters in this church. They didn't save me. They can't. This book did. So I owe God. I love you. We'll see you next time. All right? Bye-bye.